Hi everyone, I'm Allie and welcome to Hearts of Courage, the podcast. Very often we hear the success stories, we see the highlight reels, we hear about the achievement, but not enough about the process, the struggle, the story behind the image. And in today's world, it takes courage to show up and own each day living authentically. The more conversations we have and the more we listen, the more we can empathize, understand, and learn from one another to experience the beauty of what it really means to be human.
I hope everyone's keeping well. I hope everyone's keeping safe. It has been a while. The reality is, as much as I absolutely love doing this podcast, I really could not keep up as a one-woman band whilst trying to find work and prioritize and learning to prioritize new avenues for work to help me keep going through the year. And it's no doubt that we've all had challenges in all kinds of forms. So I hope everyone's keeping okay and thank you for your patience, and I hope whenever I get a little chance like today, or I just procrastinated all day until now, to keep this podcast going. It has been a long year and I want to remind you to please stay connected to someone that you trust, whether it's family or friends. You don't have to go through it alone and we will get through this. Last time, our last episode was with Chris. If you haven't listened to it, please do. We cover living with OCD, the power of mindfulness and self-compassion. The one today will be a continuation from the last one. So if you haven't heard it, please do, if you have some time. And today we'll be continuing on to talking about trusting our own process, our own journey, dealing with comparison, helpful ways to set a structure for goal setting. I know how hard it is to stay motivated, and a lot more. So the actual recording with Chris from the last episode and the one today was recorded on early mid-August, just to give you guys an idea. I have recordings from even July, which I haven't had a chance to edit. I have a list of people to interview still, which I'm really excited about. Thank you all to those who reached out and volunteered to share their stories so openly and vulnerably. So let's continue on where we left off last month. Let's welcome back Chris.
A lot of us have these private internal journeys, and some of us have these very, very difficult journeys. And it's really, really important that we first cultivate this relationship with ourselves that says, look, if this were my partner, if this was somebody I deeply loved, even if you don't feel that love for yourself right now, it'll come from the continual treatment of yourself as though you were somebody who you deeply loved about and cared about. And I think it's really, really important. It's not about narcissism or about, that's a completely different thing. Self-indulgence, so all of this stuff that people think, oh, that's a bit too, it's none of that stuff. That's completely different. It's coming from a very different energy and a very different intention. You know, if we can treat ourselves with that tender, loving care, knowing that, you know, even if we don't feel it right now, you know, it's going to empower us over time. It's going to really help us to heal and grow and get better. And it's our journey, you know, just because somebody else is doing something else or they're apparently really happy on Facebook or whatever, it's not necessarily true. And we need to take our own steps to nourish ourselves.
That's beautiful. I really appreciate you sharing all of this. And I know you and I speak a lot about, you know, our dreams and our vision and
yes,
trusting our process. I want to talk a little bit about trusting your process. You have so many dreams that we talk about and they're all amazing. I love everything you say. How do you trust your process when you have all of these visions, juggling, you know, different avenues that you're exploring with your projects and all the things that you're doing now? How do you trust your process?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I don't always, if I'm honest, but obviously I trusted enough to be able to keep going on this particular journey. Cause I definitely have thoughts sometimes, like we all do, you know, is this the right approach? Is this the right way forward? But I think trusting ourselves is the thing I've learned, and that's probably through my OCD experience, that is the most, for me, it's the cornerstone of health. Trusting ourselves is the cornerstone of health. You know, we might have ideas about our lives. We might have ideas about what we think is best for us that doesn't necessarily match with what everyone else thinks. But we need to listen to our intuition. Even if we make mistakes along the way, it trains this muscle of, you know what? I can trust myself. I'm worthy of trusting my own sleep, because nobody knows ourselves better than we know ourselves. And, you know, people can say all sorts of things, but you will have a lot more wisdom within yourself than you're aware of. That's what I've learned anyway. I think in terms of managing, you know, a whole host of preoccupations and dreams and ideas, it's really, really important, that's from a very practical level, for all of us to get some kind of framework or structure to kind of put all of this into so that we can deal with it one step at a time. You know, the great Shakespeare is an example I like to use. Shakespeare wrote the most remarkable things. And often we look at Shakespeare's work and we think, how did this man create all of this stuff? But what he's done is in a sonnet, for example, he uses a set structure. So every time he writes a sonnet, he's using the same structure.
Right.
And every time he writes a play, or most of the time, as I understand it, he uses about five acts. Mm. And it's something about this structure that allows creative freedom. It allows the imagination to work. But when we've got so many ideas and we've got so much going on in our world and so much in our mind, we can't cope. We shut down. Mm. We lose our imagination. We lose that sense of self-trust. So it's really, really important, to, first of all, to create some kind of priority, really, if you like, at first, but some sort of framework that we create so that we just deal with this one step at a time. So we kind of say, right, okay, I've got all of these dreams, I've got all of these ideas, I need to start at the bottom. You know, what is my core values for life? Now, this isn't to put pressure on yourself. This isn't about, you know, I've got to achieve these things in order to be worthwhile or to have a good life. It doesn't work like that. But it's about, it's getting to the root of, it's using certain tools to get to the creative instinct within us, to burst that kind of inspiration, because it lives in all of us, but the mind can get in the way. So think, what are my values? What are the core values I hold in my life? Because a lot of research has been done on happiness, and you know, a lot of people who are experts in this field will talk about the fact that happiness isn't about the emotion of happiness so much. You know, a lot of us chase this feeling of being happy, but it can often compound the problem in our life of never really getting there. But when we actually ascertain what our values are, you know, what is it that I really value in life? Is it compassion, or is it love, or is it enterprise, or whatever it is, courage? When we start to really identify those things, perhaps in the different areas of our life even, and we start living by those things consciously on a more regular basis, we become happier people. We live a life that's more connected to what our purpose is and who we really are. So maybe starting at those core places is quite a helpful one if you're new to goals and vision and all of those kinds of things. There's many courses and many books out there that will teach goal setting and vision setting, and it's a very powerful thing. But what I do say is that don't overwhelm. No one wants to overwhelm themselves with too many books at one time. Absolutely. Or too many ideas. Pick one and work on that one and master it. So if you started, say, with your essential vision for your life and then your values, you might then go into goals. You know, what's my five-year goal plan? You know, what would I like my life to be like in 5 years? What would I like it to be like in 3 years? And then what would I like it to be in 1 year, perhaps? And you might build from there. And then from there, you might think, right, on a kind of monthly basis, how does my life look? And I use something called a percentage map, which I've explained to you, Ali, before, where this is a great author who I love, who I will mention here. I'm not at all affiliated to him in any way, but a guy called Mark Forster has written a number of books, fantastic books on time management, life management, really good things to learn if we want to live an inspiring life, because they don't feel very inspiring when you're learning about them. But actually they are, because they're the cornerstone to having more time, more energy, and being able to really prioritize our time well. He came up with this idea that, look, so many of us take on more than we can eat. You know, so we take too much off the menu. We can't eat it all. So he gets you to think about, right, well, list all the kind of core areas of your life at the moment that you're attending to, that are important to you, that you want to give attention to, not so much time, but your attention. And it gets you to put a little percentage next to them. You know, you just kind of assess it, you know, just to give some idea. And you might see that actually you've got way too much on that list, and no wonder you're feeling overwhelmed. And so then it's about saying, well, okay, some of this right now I'm going to have to delegate or stop doing, but maybe it can come later. You know, but if I can just get some clarity on what I can manage right now and what are the core priorities, then I can start to really work on those. So it's all about, you know, in a long answer to your question, I think, is you getting these systems in place and managing some kind of a framework where you're not so overwhelmed, because there's a great deal of creativity that comes when we have some structure. You know, when the structure's in place, suddenly the creativity, because we start relaxing, we feel in control of our situation, we're taking care of the things that we care about the most. how do we trust that we're on the right journey in life? You know, there's so many different opportunities and so many different ways and things that we can do. And that is a challenging one for so many of us, isn't it? What do we do? And my guess is that we have more answers within ourselves than often we think. And sometimes, you know, if we're honest with ourselves and we look back through our experiences, we all know that little voice that sort of whispers to us in moments of inspiration. And I think if you look back, you'll probably see the majority of the time it's saying a similar thing. And I think that, you know, something that another great book taught me was to, you know, if you don't know the answer, or you think you just say, I don't know the answer to this question about my life, just try answering it. Just have a guess, you know, just to say, if I were guessing, what do I think the answer to this? Or even if I'm wrong about this and I'm completely wrong, what do I think the answer would be? And that you might look at your answer and think, well, that's definitely not it.
Right.
But you might just actually realize you've got more answers within yourself than you do. And I think training that muscle is really important, because we live in a world now with so much stimulation, there's so many ideas. It's wonderful in many ways, but it's also disabling if every time we see something else or someone else, we think, oh my God, I should be doing this. There's one thing to see things that inspire us, and we think, oh, could I bring that into my life? Would it be nourishing to incorporate that into my life in some way that will be unique to me? And there's another thing to compare ourselves and say, oh my God, everyone's doing all of this stuff. And how do I make the right choices? But our journeys are all unique. Our paths are all unique. And what we often forget is that everything that's led us to this place is an intricate, complex mixture of advantages and disadvantages, opportunities and opportunities that we haven't had, that other people might have had. It's so complicated. So to compare ourselves to anyone is always fruitless in this sense of, and I think we do it because on some level we think it's going to serve us. If I compare myself to this person, I can get to where they are. But we don't want to get to where they are. What we want is to maybe to have the element of something that they're experiencing in our own experience. But ultimately, what we want to do to be healthy and happy is to really find our true path and nourish that and feed that and work towards that. And it might look different to other people, and that's okay. And I think that's when we become happier and more fruitful, if you like, in the world as well.
I love that. And it's so true. And it kind of ties back to what we spoke about before and coming into that quiet space. Because if we're always feeding, you know, social media or online and what everyone else is doing, sometimes it does affect us. You know, we have to kind of like, okay, hold on. What problem do I want to solve in the world? What am I passionate about? What am I curious about? And asking those questions, what do you want in your life? And everyone's journey looks different. And that's okay. Like, we're all in our own growing experience. We're all discovering things at different times. And we're all unique in our own way. And yeah, I'm happy you shared all of that.
And on that note there, just because my question to you is, so I have those moments, I'm sure we all do, where we look at somebody on Facebook and think, oh, they're having a baby, or they're doing this, and I haven't got there yet. And how do you respond to that when you have, if you're, you know, at home by yourself, and it comes up on Facebook, and you think, and you feel that pang of, oh, this isn't just where it should be. What do you do?
I think for me, I feel like I can definitely catch myself a lot more than I could before when I'm doing it. So I would say awareness would be the first thing. And if I do see something that, let's say I'll feel inspired, but then half of me is like, oh, I wish I could draw like that, or I wish I could do this, then I know I'm beating myself up for it. You're feeding it again, and now I'm judging myself. And that's when I have to take another step back, which then comes with, I would say, setting boundaries. Uninstall social media for a little bit, celebrating where I'm at, and then also being okay with imperfections. I can recognize my growth now in all the work I've been putting into my own personal development. I feel like that is actually probably the greatest project that I can work on, is probably myself.
Yes.
I think disconnecting, when I can reconnect with myself and really enjoy my life in the present day with the simple joys, no matter how busy I can be, I always make sure I add the small things in my life. So making time for family and friends, whether it's meeting someone outside for a walk or online, hearing my niece on a voice note, video calls, going on a bike ride, going for a walk. You know, it's not about doing something big or writing a book or those achievements or whether we've done this. So yeah, it's being grateful for the things that you do have and focusing on the present moment. It's also recognizing the things that are most valuable now and the people in our life that really matter.
Yeah.
We still have the rest of our lives to figure it out. And whether I turn 40 or 50 and then I start
shifting gears of my dreams. And, you know, it's part of the process. And I know that there will be times where I will fail, preparing to fail as well. And I think the more you go into that dark place and then you jump back up, I think you build resilience through that. And then you can tackle it again and again, each time better.
I think we're describing coming home to yourself, you know, coming home to your journey, your experience, and, you know, your worth as an individual. We all have this unconditional worth. I truly believe it.
Absolutely.
And it has nothing to do with what we achieve or what we do or how other people see us or anything like that. And so we're coming, when we come home to ourselves and we find that inner light and we see that we're, you know, this being of light, that we've got all of this love and all of this inspiration within ourselves, and we're worthy of having the best life, but we're also going to treat ourselves with love and kindness in the present, even if things aren't quite where we want them to be. I think we're coming home to ourselves. So we have to sort of become the source of that which we want to experience. So in our dreams and our things that we want to attract, whether it be a relationship or whatever, there's an essence. There's something about being, I don't know, what's it in a relationship? It's freedom, it's love, it's the things that, you know, we don't actually want just a relationship. We want the feelings that it brings. So if we can start to authentically build those into our life through self-care and relationships with others and start shining the light that we all are, those things will come to us very organically, you know, and in a big way. And the present will be more enjoyable because we won't be thinking, well, I'm not there yet. And now I'm honest with you, I've lived a lot of my life not there yet, you know, and I'm not saying that there's no value in having some sense of impatience or kind of moving towards something you're excited about. But if that's taken to an extreme of I'm never there yet, next year I'll be there, next year I'll be there. We're never living. And I think we're sending out the vibration from a law of attraction point of view of I'm not there yet. And so we get more of I'm not there yet. So it's about, you know, coming home to ourselves and saying, this is where I'm meant to be. This is where I am. And we can talk about whether we are ultimately meant to be here and this is all meant to be or it's not. But whether or not that's true, we are where we are. And so if we can start from that place in any moment and start to become the source of that, that isn't easy when you're struggling or when we're talking about some of the things we talked about earlier. That might be very, very difficult. It might be small steps at one thing at a time. You know, we can't climb the mountain in 5 minutes, but if we can start to realize that there's a great courage in the human heart, there really is. Even amongst great adversities, we have great, great courage in ourselves and a capacity to love no matter what. I really believe our capacity to love is unlimited. And we think it's not. We think it's limited. I've only got so much love to give, I think, sometimes. But I think we've got so much love to give, especially when we start at home and we start giving it to ourselves. We've got even more to give out.
Like, support that 100%. I think a lot of people think that you won't be happy until you have that next big job or that next partner.
Yes.
And I think they call it destination happiness. You're just not happy now, so I have to go find that other thing. But it's like we talked about learning to love where we are now and what we do have, because I think with the comparing thing is you can look at someone and say, oh, I want that. I want to be that. I want to, you know, but the thing is everyone has something to offer, but already within themselves.
Absolutely. And the law of attraction is the idea that everything is energy and vibration. And we attract like vibration or like energy to us. So if I'm having thoughts of I want this, I end up attracting more of I want this. You know, but if I have thoughts of actually I'm grateful for the good things I have right now, and yes, I have this dream, I have this desire which I enjoy imagining and so forth. For me personally, it helps me a lot to marry that with the idea that we are meant to be in this place right now. And this is a very challenging topic to go into, because you know there are many people who are in great pain and great suffering in this world, who have just lost somebody. And I'm not saying that on a conscious human level, you know, everybody wanted this thing to happen to them or chose it. But I'm a great believer in spirituality. I've heard enough near-death experiences and enough intuitive sense within myself that we are more than the human being that we currently enjoy being, that we are a soul, if you like, or a spiritual being in this human experience, and that there's much more to this life than the life that we're currently living. And I think for that reason, I would say that there's something I believe that's going on here in terms of the evolution of a spiritual life in the human form, in the earth experience, that he's meant to be this way. There's something, if you think about the utter interdependence of every single living thing that's existing, everything connects to everything else, everything impacts everything else. It's impossible not to. So if something's meant to be somewhere, you know, people say, oh, I think that was meant to be. Well, it's got to be everywhere. It can't be one way and not the other, because everything's so interconnected. And that would suggest that there's an utter intricate beauty, a tapestry of perfection that's unfolding. And that might be to do with the fact that there are many souls who've come here for all sorts of experience that on the human level, we don't think about. Like I certainly didn't think I came here to be challenged by severe mental illness and struggle. But maybe that's got something of value to me longer term in the bigger picture. I do find it very helpful to think that we are where we're meant to be. And so what's happened is not, you know, our fault. We couldn't have done things differently. At the end of the day, it's really, you know, when you think deeply, nobody could have done anything differently to the way they've done it. You know, we might be able to do something differently in the next moment, because we've got creative potential, I think, in the next minute to do something new, but we couldn't have done anything different in the past.
When I go through a struggle now, it's always pause and say, what is this teaching me? And what am I learning from this? Because I think it's our struggles that they're always teaching us something, right? There's a lot of things that we can say, I should have done that. I should have done this. But we can't change anything that we should have done. You know, it's just accepting as it is and doing our best to grow from it.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you sharing your story, your experiences, and thank you so much for being here.
Likewise. Thank you for being in my life. And thank you to everybody who's listened to us for the last hour or so. I really sincerely hope with my heart and soul that there's been some value here. I mean, I know I've benefited hugely from listening to other people's stories and other teachers and other people I've listened to. So I really, really hope that, you know, there's something of value for you in this. I just wanted to give a few links to things I think will really, you know, for anybody. So we talked about OCD quite a lot. And if there's anybody here who thinks that they might have OCD, or they might want to get some help, or they're aware they have it or whatever, OCD Action, the charity, is extremely supportive and extremely resourceful. So if you go onto the website, if you just type into Google OCD Action, you'll see the website, and there's a really good resources there for understanding OCD. Somebody else I'm going to recommend for somebody who's perhaps working with OCD at the moment, who's already been doing work on it, is a lady called Ali Graymond, who has a fantastic YouTube channel, Ali Graymond, and she's basically an OCD coach. So she's a bit no nonsense. She's very kind of let's get it done, let's get it solved, let's get it treated, but her understanding of the mechanics of OCD is so brilliant. Really good coaching videos. So I recommend that. We talked about self-compassion quite a lot, and I think it's a super, super important skill to develop and to grow. There's a lady called Kristen Neff, and I think that's spelled K-R-I-S-T-E-N, and her surname is N-E-F-F for Freddie. And she has a great TED talk, which is a really good starting point for understanding self-compassion. And then alongside that, some wonderful free meditations on her website and a book as well, which I think I've lent you, Ali.
I love that book.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. Very powerful. If you're having a really tough time in life, just to start cultivating that gentle, loving. And it does take practice, seem like all of these things, if you're not used to it. Anybody's welcome to contact me if they've got any questions about OCD, or just want to have a quick chat, or we'll check in, or any guidance or anything based on what I've shared, or just to share maybe your experience if you need to, if you feel you'd like to. You can email me at Christopher Curry, and that surname is spelled C-U-R-R-I-E at AOL.com.
Hey guys, I just want to interrupt real quick. A little mistake with his email. It's actually christophercurry@aol.co.uk.
You never, ever, ever give up hope. This is the main thing. Hope is the thing that keeps us going.
Everyone needs to hear that, you know, like you are loved, you are seen, you are beautiful.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people, they don't have that growing up, and they suffer through that trauma, and they're having to rebuild themselves and in believing themselves, and that takes time. But
of course it
does. But everyone, you know, everyone is loved. Everyone is love, and everyone
absolutely.
Everyone is worthy. Absolutely.
I think that's absolutely true. And if you ever doubt that for a second, or you doubt that there's a love even if you want to explore the idea of the love outside of you from the mm-hmm. universe coming towards you, listen to countless near-death experiences mm-hmm. talk about. And I'm not saying I can prove everything that they've got, but the amount of evidence of these people who've had these experiences with very intelligent people with very strong stories to tell of this unbelievable love that waits us outside of this life, and the power that has, it's just unbelievable. And I think, you know, that's just sometimes nice to be reminded of. There's been nights where I've been so lonely and I've just put on a bit of a near-death experience audiobook, and I've just thought, wow, actually, maybe I'm not so alone in the end.
It's amazing. My dad went through a near-death experience after his stroke, and I was amazed at what he shared. I think I've talked about it with you. But what he shared, it was basically like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and then it coming back to him and kind of going through some kind of spiritual awakening. And yeah, that changed him. That like, it was inspiring. And he's still here today. He's still with us. Thank you so much, Chris. This has been amazing. And again, thank you for taking the time to share your experience, and really grateful for you. I'm so happy you're in my life.
Me too. You really, I am. And it's lovely to have this lovely connection. And
I really think everyone needs a Chris in their life.
Ah, oh, that's such a lovely thing to hear. I don't always feel like that. Sometimes I feel like I'm a bit of a mess, but
no,
you know,
every
it's
time.
Nice to hear that. Yeah.
Really, really blessed. So thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So welcome. It was such a pleasure to share.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Hearts of Courage podcast and want to hear more, please subscribe and rate and review the podcast to help us keep it going. And if you'd like to be a guest and share your story, please get in touch at Fearless Compass on Instagram or via the website fearlesscompass.com.